Well, you know, Grace, are you going to children's church? Okay. Why don't you try to come back over during the invitation? We might have you all sing that song again at the end of the service. We'll turn all the mics on. We'll get them all turned up where they belong. And we'll get to hear the whole song. By the way, there's something else you got to realize. When Angela plays a piano, she plays a piano, the piano bench, and anything near it. For such a little drink of water, the woman can rattle them ivories. And so you got to turn it up loud enough to outdo the bony little fingers of Angela York at the same time. But Grace, come back over during the invitation. And then, Brother Edwards, don't let me forget. We'll have you all sing that again. We can hear the first part of it again anyway. All right. Wasn't that good? Amen. Now take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you're a guest this morning, or if you're just one of our regular attenders, do me a favor. Take your cell phone and turn it off or turn it on vibrate. Not one of those vibrates that shakes our whole building when it goes off either. Let's make it so that everybody can pay attention and concentrate on the service now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And once you have found 2 Corinthians 11, I want you to turn to verse number 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. Stand with me, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. This is the great Apostle Paul talking about his journey for Jesus. Today, my sermon's going to be very different. It's called Let's Be Selfish. Let's be selfish. For some of you, this is going to be my favorite sermon you've ever heard me preach. Let's be selfish. Stay with me as we develop that thought, but let's pray and ask the Lord to get in on this. Holy God, do something for us. This building has 4 walls. It has a roof. But that won't keep you from getting in and doing the work that you need to do. May all of us give our attention to the service. No distractions. Thank you, Lord, for Children's Church. Thank you that because they get to hear the gospel at a level they understand, it also protects this service from interruption, distraction. And might all of us fix our minds on the truth of today and help us, Holy Spirit of God, to leave church challenged, changed, maybe a little different attitude about our lives, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. The Apostle Paul, in my opinion, was the greatest Christian in the New Testament other than Jesus Christ. He seemed, and listen now, he seemed to be a very unselfish man. As we read Acts chapter 7, verse 1 through 8, you'll find that the salvation experience of Paul was very unique. But before he was saved, the Apostle Paul had what I would call probably a very high-paying government type of a job. And for his day, he would have had all sorts of benefits. You'd call it a package when he got hired. I'm sure it had all the bells and whistles. If they had health care of that day, he had it. And if they had vacation days, he had it. He was a very devout man. He was a very educated man. He was a very capable man. He gets saved. And then what happens? God calls him to preach. And he gave up his career so he could go help others. That's unselfish. He gave up some friendships, probably of a lifetime, to go serve God. That's unselfish. He gave up his home in which he was living. And that way, Listen now, I have to have everybody's attention right here. And when he gave up his home, that was unselfish. He gave up the big money for what? For the ministry. What is that? It's unselfish. He gave up living maybe around his family. If you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he traveled all over the place. He left what family he had behind. What was he doing? He was being unselfish. If you listen to what was read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you were listening to what was being read, you understand the life that he found himself involved in. It said in verse number 23, it says, in labors more abundant. In other words, when the Apostle Paul entered the ministry, he had long hours, he had late nights, he was a very, very unselfish man. In verse 23 again, it used the words, in stripes above measure. That means he was beaten for Christ, and it when it says above measure, it means it was very hard to keep count how many times he had actually had a cat of nine tails taken to his back, all for the cause of Christ. He said, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. You understand, they believed that 40 stripes would kill a man, so they would beat him with 39 stripes and say, we've been merciful. Well, they did that to the Apostle Paul at least 5 times, and he's actually saying when it's above measure, he said, I've lost track of how many times I got beaten with that cat of nine tails so I could serve Christ and I could serve others. Sounds like a very unselfish man to me. Verse number 25, it says, thrice I was beaten with rods. In other words, like a broomstick, they would take that broomstick and beat him. And so you understand, when they beat him with that broomstick, they did it for his preaching. It's not like he'd gone down to the store and stole some candy and they took a broomstick and beat him. No, it was because he was serving God. It was because he was serving Christ. He was beaten with that stick. Again, sounds unselfish to me. In chapter 11, verse 25 of 2 Corinthians, he said, once was I stoned. And that's not talking about those of you that got stoned last night at Joe's Bar and Grill. Now, this is totally different. They took rocks and they stoned him. They stoned him within inches of his death. For what? For a stand for Jesus Christ, for doing the right thing. By the way, the Catholics can be very grateful that he hung on a cross, because they do this. Because had he been stoned to death, had Jesus been stoned to death, they'd have to do this all the time when they're thinking of Christ. The Bible says in verse number 25 of 2 Corinthians 11 that this Apostle Paul, it says, thrice I suffered shipwreck. Said, a night and a day have I been in the deep. And so here he says, I suffered shipwreck. I said, now folks, I understand children. I've got 4 of them of my own, but just as long as we can all settle down and pay attention right up here. The Bible says that he had been in shipwreck, I can't imagine being shipwrecked. Me, I'm afraid of sharks. And if you're not, you just never come face to face with one. You can say, oh, I'm not afraid of sharks. Yeah, you just think you are. You're so bold. But he was in a shipwreck. The Bible says in verse 26, it says, in journeyings often. In other words, he said, I'm always leaving home. I'm always leaving my family. And this wasn't because he was out getting rich, you know, trading gold or silver. It's because he was traveling and preaching and starting churches and getting people saved. And I believe, again, you see there's an unselfishness there. It says, in perils of water, traveling by boat and facing the storms. That's him being unselfish. In verse 26, it says, in perils of robbers. In other words, the Apostle Paul might have traveled through a place like Baltimore and where there was looting and things like that. And there was danger for him. There was danger. He was traveling. He was out where there were robbers. And in spite of all the danger and in spite of all the traveling and the shipwreck and everything, he kept going. He was unselfish. And verse 26 says, it says, in perils by mine own countrymen. In other words, he said, you know, people that are from my country that were not so good people endangered my life, and they would steal from me or mug me while I would travel. And so he's not talking about I was in a foreign country and I felt uncomfortable there. He said I was in my own country and I felt like it was dangerous there. What's he talking about? Again, this is an unselfish man. He gave up a plush life, and now he's going all over the place preaching the gospel, doing the right thing. But look at some of the sacrifice. It says in weariness in verse 27. In other words, he was wore out. He was tired. Long hours. Again, I think I see unselfishness. He uses in verse 27 the words, and painfulness. In other words, he hurt. I think he had physical pain. I think he had emotional pain. And again, I would say that seems to be unselfish. In verse 27, it said, in watchings often. In other words, late nights. Watching out for the work of God. Watching out for the enemy of the church. He said, I just had to mentally stay aware late into the night. Maybe he's down at the hospital visiting. But again, we see it seems like there's an unselfishness there. He says in verse 27, in hunger. In other words, he went from a high-paying, plush, have anything you need, have anything you want kind of a job, to now there's a point where he's at places and he doesn't have the food that he needs. He's actually physically hungry. And I see sacrifice. I see an unselfishness there. He talks about, in verse 27, he said, there were times I was cold. I didn't have the heat that I needed. Again, it seems like he's unselfish. He said, in nakedness. In other words, he went from having some very fancy suits and very fancy shoes and the best ties on the market all the way down to the point where he's saying, I didn't even have the clothes that I needed. There were times that I did not have the clothes I needed while I was serving Christ. And then in verse 28, finally we come to the passage that we read, the end of it. But it says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now he's saying, there's all the trauma from without, and then I carry the burden of trying to help all the churches and all the pastors and everything that was going on around me. Now, I have to tell you something. I remember when I first went into the ministry, I had been offered some very, very lucrative jobs where I could have made an awful lot of money, and I walked away from that, and I said, what I want to do is I want to serve God with my life. I feel like God's called me to preach. And you know, it might have been back then, it may have seemed like there was a lot of sacrifice that went into it. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. The other day, Mrs. Owens and I had traveled. We went to Rockwell, North Carolina, where I preached a revival. And they had given us a little money for doing so, and I think I'm going to take Mrs. Owens out. I'm going to get her a new outfit. Well, I got up early in the morning, and I wanted to start the day out right, and I thought we'd be like a little date day, and I got up and I took off early and I went to Walmart and I got her some flowers, and then I got a vase for in the flowers, and then in her kitchen there's a color of green, what spring green, is that it? She likes the color spring green in her kitchen. So I looked all around the stupid store of Walmart until I found these, I mean the precious store of Walmart, until I found these three cooking utensils, a spatula, a big spoon, and whatever, and they were made in spring green, and I stuck them in with the flowers and tried to be, you know, creative. I don't know how well I did, but when Brother Nofslinger, she can just sit in the back there when she comes back in, because I've got to keep everybody's attention here. So and when Mrs. Owens got up a little later on there at the hotel where we were staying, was this bouquet of flowers and this makeshift man-made pretty bouquet. And don't ask her about it. It probably wasn't as nice as what I wished it would have been. But I did that. And she got up and she enjoyed it. Then I said, I want to take you in. I want to get you a new outfit today. So we went out and she tried an outfit on. I really liked it. I really liked it. And so we got her a new outfit. I have to admit something. I did it as much for me as I did it for her. Men, you ever said to your wife, I want to take you out to eat? You know where that thing right there is going? Hon, I just love you so much. I bet you're hungry for a big old steak. I have to tell you, I'm selfish. I am selfish. I'm going to confess something to you today. I think you deserve to know the truth. I'm going to tell on myself this morning. I plan to admit something to you. Man, is it quiet in here? Everybody's really paying close attention. I've decided to be honest about something, and here it is. I've been trying to serve God for a long time, and I try not to be selfish about it. But for some reason, I seem to serve Him selfishly. I'm not an unselfish person. I'm very selfish. So are you. I believe so was the Apostle Paul, though you might not believe it. You see, how do you know that? Paul knew what his sacrifice meant, not only to Jesus Christ, but what his sacrifice meant to Paul. Stay with me as I try to deal with you in regard to reality. The human race doesn't come across honest truth often enough. My sermon is called, Let's Be Selfish. Stay with me as I build upon what I've said already. Number one, we're all very selfish. Isaiah 56 verse 11 says, Yea, we are greedy. We are greedy dogs, which can never have enough even. That's how God describes the human race, and God knows that. We have a greediness and a selfishness about us. It's human nature. That nobody's above it. Nobody ever totally conquers it. It's not good, but it still happens. Did you know that you do not have to train children to be selfish? They can do it all by themselves. All you women thought,
I learned that from his dad.
He didn't learn that from his dad. He learned that because he's a human being, and within us is a selfishness. You know it's there. I know it's there. The human race, even at its best, is selfish. Number two, I have a hard time doing right just because it's right to do. And can I tell you all, I think we ought to do right because it's right to do, but we all struggle just doing it because it's right to do. We have little moments when we really have the purest of intention, and it was really super holy moment where we did it all for Jesus. But we don't live our lives predominantly that way because we're selfish, and I'm just admitting, I say, I have a hard time doing right just because it's right to do. And I happen to know the man named Paul, who was probably the most sacrificial man in the New Testament other than Jesus Christ. If you listen to what he wrote in Romans chapter 7, and you listen to what he really said, for instance, he said this, for the good that I would, I don't. Paul said there's good that I'm supposed to do and I don't, and there's bad that I'm not supposed to do, and for some reason I do. Now don't you tell me that Paul wasn't put together just like me and you. And here's Paul, who suffered shipwreck and got beat with a stick and got beat with a whip, and he was hungry and he didn't have clothes. Now don't tell me that he went through all of that and there were not times that he was doing it because there was something in it for Paul. I think Paul knew that. I have a hard time doing right just because it's right to do. I believe we should do right for the right reasons. I believe we should do all our sacrificing for the glory of God. But I struggle pulling that off. I'll say to myself, I'll do everything to glorify God. I'll do everything to uplift God. I'll do everything to magnify God. And that's what I say with my lips. Then I know in my heart, I lose total track of that. And I start doing the things that I do, waking up and realizing that benefited me. That was good for me. I'm selfish. Hey, this is a hard thing to overcome. You ever said I need to do everything to the glory of God? You know how quick you can forget about you're supposed to do everything to the glory of God? You know how quick you can forget about it's all to magnify Him and it's all about Jesus? We say that. We believe that. We ought to practice that. Let's strive for that. I'm just here to tell you, I sure have been struggling with this thing. And I've been saved since I was a 16-year-old boy. For 38 years, I've known everything to be done to God's glory, and I'm still having a hard time getting that done. It's a constant battle. I believe all we do should be done for His glory. But I fail at doing it that way. So this is what I said. I said, number one, we're all selfish. I said, number two, it is hard to do things for the right reason and for His glory all the time. Number three, I admit, I selfishly do right because it helps me. Don't miss this. I selfishly do right because it helps me. Let me read a verse to you. I didn't write this verse. God did. Listen to what it says. Acts 20:35. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Huh. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Did you know that I give? Because God promised a blessing. I am so glad that God knew I'd be so weak. I am so glad God knew. He said, magnify me in everything, but just in case you have a hard time with that because you're a weak, beggarly human being, I'll bless you if you do the right thing. I'm going, why did He get me off the hook? If the only thing that I would ever be rewarded for was 100% pure in magnifying Him, I wouldn't have many rewards. But He said, let me give you an incentive. Jeff Owens, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now you think you can give? And I say, I sure can. I sure can. Huh. I selfishly do right. Why? It's good for me. Get this. I give my money to God and to His church, and I'm selfish about it. I'm selfish about it. You know, I went out with one of our men, and we went out to have a bite to eat, and I wanted to pay the bill, and I did pay the bill. You want to know why? I was being selfish. You say, how so? The Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. I wanted the blessing. I'm not going to let Him get the blessing. You ever heard someone say about a gift like that? They would say, don't rob me of the blessing. You might just be saying that, but that's what the Bible teaches. It is more blessed to give than to receive, and I am very selfish. I want to give. You say, why? Because it's more blessed to give than receive. Did you know that when I give, I'm doing the best thing for me? I plan to be selfish that way. I find myself being stingy that way. Folks, the greatest blessing is in giving, not in keeping, and not in receiving. Children grow up. They approach Christmas. And when they're immature, they say, give me, give me, give me. But you know what happens? There comes a day when they realize the greatest thing is not getting, it's giving. And every adult and every mature adult in this building today would say to you, there's no more thrilling moment than to give your a mate or a child a gift and something that they wanted. And you are more thrilled with what's in the package and them receiving it than they are. And they're the ones that got it. You know what? Are you catching it? I give because I'm stingy. I love the thrill of doing things like that. Have you ever been able to do something for someone and you just walk away and they appreciated the gift, but you walk away saying, man, does that feel good? Wow! It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know what I say? Let's all band together and become selfish. Let's just give to one another. Let's give to God. A friend of mine, Dr. Russell Anderson, he's a multi-millionaire businessman. He's given over $30 million to the cause of Christ through the years. And one day he said to me, he said, I give for my sake. He said, I give for my sake. I thought, wow. Well, the Bible teaches more blessed to give than receive. Give and do it. And you say, but you ever heard someone say, you ought to be a joyful giver. Let me tell you something. You ought to give to God whether you're joyful about it or not. But I will tell you this, in giving, you come out on top. I give my time to God, to the cause of Christ. Why? I'm selfish. I'm selfish. You know, the more hours I put in for God, the more power and blessing I get from God. I'm stingy. I'm selfish. Doing things for yourself all the time, folks, is not benefiting you as much as what you think. It feels good when you've given of yourself to the cause of Christ. Did you know that when I give myself to go and help someone, when I give myself to serve around the church, when I give of myself and I give of my time, I benefit from that. I enjoy that. It there's a certain thrill in it. I'm just here to tell you, I give my time because, really, I'm selfish. And I'm admitting, I can't keep track. I'm just telling you. I can't always keep track of this thing of you. Everything you do all day long, magnify Him, uplift Him. I want to, and I'm trying to, but I'm just glad He told me it was more blessed to give than to receive. I'm just very, very glad He calculated into the great big picture. He knew I was a human, and I would have a hard time every time doing it all for the exact 100% right reason. He said, let me throw some incentives in here for you just to keep you going. I'm glad of it. You know something? I go soul winning because I'm selfish. There's no greater thrill than to take someone who's lost and help them to get born again. Did you know that by my going soul winning, I'm doing what's best for me? You know, God promises that the Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Did you know that when I go out soul winning and win someone to Christ, that's best for me? Why? I get wisdom. God gives wisdom to the soul winner. You know, the Bible teaches that when you win people to Christ, there are rewards that you'll get in heaven. Now, I don't think we're to do it just for the rewards, but I do know the rewards are there. And every once in a while, I forget exactly 100% purely why I'm supposed to be doing it. But God told me I was going to get rewards anyway. So He threw in the incentive, and the Bible teaches there are crowns given to those that turn many to righteousness. Did you know you going soul winning is best for you? I want to recommend to everybody in this church that you do the very best thing for you. Let's all be stingy and go tell people about Jesus Christ. That's stingy. You're getting blessing. You're going to get wisdom. You're going to get crowns in heaven. You're going to get a pat on the back from Jesus Christ. Hey, I give of my money and it's selfish. I give of my time and it's selfish. I give and tell others about Jesus Christ. It's selfish. You know, I hope I'm not being too candid for you today, but I come to church because I'm selfish. I come to get encouragement. You ever get up and say, I need to get there? You ever had a hard week and say, I wish we were having church? You ever have one of those days where you're ready to pull your hair out and you just had the thought, I wish we were in church right now. It'd be a whole lot better. I come to church because it's best for me. I need the preaching. I need the singing. I need the fellowship. I need the encouragement. Now, I know that I was to get up this morning and come down to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, and that I was to be here for Sunday school and church. I know that I was to be here to glorify Almighty God, but you'll have to forgive me. I lost track of that this morning while I was fellowshipping with you, and while I was being blessed by the music, and while I was being encouraged by what was being said. I kind of lost track of the sincerity of the 100% let's glorify Him, but I know that He knows, and I know that He knew it would be hard. That's why He said, you come, and I'll throw in some incentives along the way. I'm to come to church and be unselfish. But folks, just so you all know, we're needy people. And I don't think when I say we're stingy, I'm not trying to say that we are passionately looking to take advantage of people in that stinginess. I just know this. I know I want to do the right thing, and I know I need to be spiritual, and I know that I need encouragement, and I know that I need the music to uplift me, and I know I need to be around the church people that are going to make me laugh. And forgive me, but I came planning on enjoying it and planning on getting something out of it. I didn't plan to come and walk away with nothing. I came and planned to be walking away with a heart full, a mind full, a spirit full. I wanted all that. And you know something? I think God understands that. I give my money because I'm selfish. I give my time because I'm selfish. I go soul winning because I'm selfish. I come to church because I'm selfish. This one really affects me. I try to live a clean life because I'm selfish. Now, I know I'm to clean up my life for Him. I know that. But I got to tell you, clean life's what's best for me. I grew up, by the time I was 16 years of age and got saved, there were habits in my life, and I could have gone down a path that would have just totally, totally destroyed my life. Now, I'll just tell you something. I started coming to church, and I began to realize I had friends in school doing bad things, and I would be doing those things if I was not in church. And I said to myself, you better stay in church, because you're going to have your life messed up like their life. Do you want to be like that? Do you want to live like that? Do you want to have a nasty life like that? I said, I don't want that. And I'm not sure every time it was all because I want to glorify Jesus. I think I looked at my life and I said, I want a decent life. I want a happy life. I want a fulfilled life. I want a life that is rich and full. And you know something? There are times when I don't do bad things because I don't want bad things to come in my life. You say, well, you ought to do it all for the glory of God. I'm trying. But sometimes I have a hard time conquering my concern about my life. You know, I watch family members that were drunks. You know, I decided I don't want to have liver failure. I don't want to be poor because I wasted all my money on booze. I didn't want high interest rates because of DWIs. I didn't want to kill somebody in a drunk driving accident. You say, well, you ought to not drink to glorify God. I agree. You ought not drink the liquor so you glorify God. But just let me tell you something. If you decide not to drink and you'll do it, I'm going to promise you there are benefits that are going to come to your life. And we tend to be very self-centered and very stingy. And I want you to do everything you do all to the glory of God. But God did throw some incentive in here. He said, you do right, and I am going to bless you. You do right, and I'm going to protect your life. And I'm going to protect your finances. And I'm going to protect your mind and your body. And I'm going to protect your family. I guess I'm just admitting, I live right, and I know it's best for Him, but I don't live right. It's best for me. I live a separated lifestyle because it's best for me. I've seen the pain of a wicked life. I don't want my life wasted like that. You say, I'm going to go out and live in the world. To me, that's not unselfishness. That's just stupidity. The selfish thing is to live for Jesus Christ. That's selfish. That's for you. You know, the best thing for Him is the best thing for you. Live your life for Christ. Live your life in a separated fashion. It's better for you. So I give him my money because I'm selfish. I give him my time because I'm selfish. I go soul winning because I'm selfish. I come to church because I'm selfish. I try to live a clean life because I'm selfish. I'm learning this. I've not learned it totally, but in getting along with people, I've learned to try to get along with others, and on things that are not doctrinal issues, I give in to others. I'll give in to their opinions. As long as they're not sinful, I'll give in to their opinions. You say, why? Well, I'm selfish that way. You know, Romans 12:10 says, in honor preferring one another. Do you know, we will fuss and fight over opinions in our homes. Things are not doctrinal. Things are not even scriptural. Oh, watch churches get in fuss and fights over the stupidest little things. The color of the carpet, the chandelier. Why? Why would we want to make a mess of our lives over menial issues of opinion? The Bible says, why don't you learn to be able to give in some? And folks, some of you might not know me well. I don't give in on the doctrines of the Bible. I don't give in on the old time religion and the standards and the convictions of my forefathers. But there's a whole lot of things that are not worth fussing about, and they're not worth causing battles and wars over. Well, sometimes we, and it's our pride that causes it. The Bible says, by pride cometh contention. You know, you can just be sure if two people are going around, there's some pride involved somewhere. You know, just learning to give in. Did you know that learning to give in a little bit, that's selfish? Have you ever given in on an issue? And again, I've already clarified, I'm going to talk about doctrine or standards. Have you ever given in on an issue that wasn't such a big issue and got that feeling of, I guess I was the bigger person there. She got what she wanted, but so what? At least we're going to get along. He got what he wanted, but so what? At least we're going to get along. I had two businessmen. They had started a business together. So you all know, I'm not real big on recommending that two people in the church go into business together. I don't recommend that a lot. Usually they fuss and fight and they can't get along. But these two men went into business, and I don't become their enemy. I just told them, I said, you guys might be better off doing that independently because most people can't get along when it comes down to money and certain decisions. And they went ahead and went into business together and then came to see me and said, preacher, we're fighting over this amount of money. Can you help us with it? And I wanted to say, I told you this was going to happen, but I didn't. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I met with businessman number one and I said, here's what I think. I said, the Bible says in honor preferring one another. I said, here's what I think. I said, I think that the two of you ought to have a private meeting where it's just the two of you. I said, and sir, this is what I do. I would say to your friend and your business companion, I would tell him how you feel about this decision, but then just tell him that you love him and that you would like to go ahead and do it his way. So he went out in the hallway, had a seat, businessman number two. He came in my office. He sat down. I said, brother, here's what I'd do. If I were you, I would have a private meeting between you and your business partner, your brother. I said, I would tell him how you feel about this situation, but tell him that you love him and that you'd like to just go ahead and do it his way. They met. They came back. And he said, well, I told him I wanted him to do it his way. And the other one said, well, I told him I wanted to do it his way. He said, now we're fighting over who gives in. Folks, there's an element of stubborn, bullheaded, sinful pride in the human race. And it misbehaves in a variety of ways. When you get right down to the major, major doctrinal, biblical issues of life, the human race can fight about the tiniest. And they can have tension. You know something? I decided I would give in to opinions as often as I could, because that's best for me. I don't want that tension in my life. And I know that's a little selfish. But look, there's no greater feeling than giving someone their... Do you know that there's a great feeling even if someone has taken advantage of you and you've gathered the right spirit about it and said, that's okay. I forgive. You talk about a rewarding feeling. When they're wrong, you're right. You lose. They win. And you say, this is not worth destroying our friendship over. I humbly submit. You say, but they got me! Let me tell you something. God's keeping track in heaven. He'll balance all the balance sheets for you someday. Hey, get it. Could you please do the selfish thing and give in on some of the stubborn things of life that don't matter anyway? Do the selfish thing and give. Do the selfish thing. Give of your time. Do the selfish thing and tell others about Jesus Christ. Do the selfish thing and be faithful to church. Do the selfish thing and clean up your life. I'm almost finished, but let me say, I wish we would all do right because it's best for God. I think we struggle with it. In Job 36:11, it says, if they obey and serve Him, they shall, then shall their days be prosperous. Do you know God told us if we'll do the right thing, He's going to prosper us? Why did He do that? I think He knew that we would struggle because of our sinful earthly nature. We would struggle doing everything 100% of the time, all to the glory of God. And I don't care how highfalutin you are spiritually. You can come to me and say, well, I always do everything to the glory of God. You're full of prunes, bud. You can tell me that all you want, but every human being alive struggles with the sincerity of their service to God. And we struggle doing it for the right reason. And we intend to. And I think we ought to push the reset button as often as we can and say, I want to glorify God and I want to do the right thing and I want to honor God and I want to uplift God. But let me tell you, if you fall back to coming to church because you enjoyed it, keep coming to church. If you fall back and say, you know, I gave because I was scared not to give my tithe. I was afraid I was going to have a curse put on my finances if I did not give it. Then you ought to just keep on giving it because God understands. And you say, I went out telling others about Jesus Christ and I got an adrenaline and a thrill out of the thought that I would get rewards from heaven. God told us about the rewards because He knew it was a backup for the beggarly, weak human race that could not always do everything 100% in its purity to honor God. Somebody told me, you're lost and on your way to hell. You're going to burn in hell for all eternity. And they said, and God wants you to get saved. You know what I said? I don't care what He wants, but I don't want to go to hell. If I had you stand up here today and tell me why you got saved, I don't think there'd be anybody in the house say, I got saved because I knew it would honor and glorify the King. Now you got saved because you didn't want to go to hell. And you wanted to go to heaven. But you know why we're supposed to get saved? To bring all majesty and honor and glory to Him. Isn't it good that He knew that we were stingy and self-centered and bad? And He said, get saved to magnify Me. That probably wouldn't have pulled it off in my life. But He said, get saved or go to hell. And I said, now you got my attention. Get saved and live eternally in heaven. Why did He tell us anything about heaven? Why didn't He just keep it all secret? Why didn't He just come to all of us and say, get saved and honor Me? He told us about heaven and He told us about hell. He didn't have to. He knew they were incentives. Because He knew of our sinful, self-centered, stingy ways. I didn't want to go to hell. And I wanted to go to heaven. Now, I've been saved since I was a 16-year-old boy. I'm 54 years of age. Now I say, I hope that my salvation has glorified him. I hope it's brought honor to him. But I still have to tell you, running neck to neck with those reasons, I'm still glad I'm not going to hell. And I'm still glad I'm going to heaven. And I have tried to mature myself spiritually to get past it. But when I get to heaven, this old body is going to be done away with, and this old mind and the corrupt carnality that is bound inside my body, it'll all be gone. And when I get to heaven, he'll be able to make me anew, and I'll be able to sing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. And I'll mean every bit of it. But right now, I'm a tainted, sinful, earthbound human that struggles to do it all for 100% the right reason. Now, I'm going to keep striving for it. But I'll probably keep on doing the stingy thing and giving and winning people to Jesus and coming to church and helping people, because that's good for me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you died tonight, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, I don't know. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm born again. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Who here would say, I'm saved and I know it. I'd not lie to church. I'd not lie to you, preacher. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not going to lie in church. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Say, I know I'm saved. I know if I died today, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. You may put your hand down. If you're not saved, we're going to have an altar call. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Somehow, I hope the revelation of the weakness of me, Jeff Owens, just telling you, I struggle doing it for the right reason. I want to do it for the right reason, but I hope that somehow it's given you hope. I see the incentive of God, and I am so glad He's so merciful and understanding of what a bad guy I am. Because I think that still gives me hope that I can keep on going and keep on serving Him. Who here would say, preacher, God's helped me with what you've said today. It's helped me. I see it. I face some of it myself, and God's spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand? There are hands up all over the place. Oh, God bless you. You may put your hands down. And remember, folks, strive to honor Him and glorify Him 100% in everything you do. But if you struggle like I do, keep going. Keep going. So I'm not going to go to church. I'm doing it for me. You keep coming. God knew that we'd do that. He knew that. God understands our frailties. We're going to have an altar call in a moment. I'll signal the pianist should begin to play and we'll stand. If you stand and you need a moment at this altar, maybe you need to come down here and say, Lord, there's some things that I've just struggled with, and today you've helped me. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, I appreciate you, your mercy and how you understand. I don't know what you need, but the altar will be open. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Maybe you have a burden or a heartache and you need to come. You come. Something about which you need to pray. You come. Maybe you need to come and say, you know what, I'm going to be in church. That's best for me. And it is. I'm going to clean up my life. That's best for me. And it is. It is. Many a person in a very carnal, selfish manner has stumbled onto the church property because their heart and their life was falling apart. And they came and said, I need something. I am desperate. I need something. I'm coming here to get something. Oh, isn't it a good thing that our God of love and our God of mercy looked down and said, I see why you're coming and it's okay. Come on. Come on. I'll help grow you. I'll help you with that. And I think God gets to gather honor just because He's smart enough to know that we're not smart enough to know what we're doing. He knows. He knows. What a great God. Keep serving Him. I give because it's best for me. I tell others about Christ. That's best for me. Hey, I stay away from some of the vices of this world. Why? That's best for me. That's best for me. You young people, if someone warns you, you go out and mess with the wrong kind of drugs, you'll end up with a needle in your arm and you'll get a disease, and you say, I don't know if I'm going to not do it for God or not do it for me, but I'm not going to do it. Well, praise God you didn't do it. Praise God you didn't do it. You better do the right thing. You better protect. You have a life that God gave you. Now protect that life. One more time through the song, Mrs. Young. One more time. I love that scripture. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And I said, okay, then I'm going to do the blessed thing. I'm going to get me a blessing. Thank you, Lord.